reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus journeyed from one town to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Accompanying him were the 12 and some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Huzza, Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. The Gospel of the Lord. The responsorial psalm today, which we prayed several times together, is the first, and because it's the first, we can even say the most important of the Beatitudes, which is the beginning of the entire moral code of Christian. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In order for our kingdom to really be in God, in order for us to treasure the things that matter most, we need to be poor in spirit. We need to be emptied of worldliness so that we can be filled with God. That's the secret of a Christian life. Jesus himself didn't merely preach those words with his lips. He lived by them. We saw that when they needed to feed the multitude, they didn't have any food at all. They needed to borrow 5 loaves and 2 fish from that young boy. Today in the gospel, we see that as the 12 were going around together, they had nothing. You had these women, Mary from Magdala, Joanna, Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. It's a very interesting thing that we always have to remember when people distort the teaching of chastity today. You will see it in certain places in which they think that every man is going to be a temptation for every woman and vice versa. And even some conservative religious orders talking out in the middle of St. Peter's Square will come and rescue another seminarian if he happens to be giving directions to the Vatican Museum to a woman of whatever age there in the middle of the square. It's a total distortion of the Lord's teaching. Here, first, we see that Jesus and the apostles were very comfortable around women. They weren't objectifying the women at all. They were befriending the women and acting like men and women should be able to behave around each other without lust getting in the way. But Jesus was poor in spirit, such that he needed the help of others to be able to provide for him out of his needs. He sent them out without a money bag, without a second tunic, without sandals. God's serious about this teaching. We see why in the first reading, when St. Paul, writing to St. Timothy, starts to describe 2 ways that we can live. The contentiousness that comes from materialism. And he says, we've brought nothing into the world. We were born naked. Just in the same way, we will not be able to take anything out of it. Nothing will fit through the eye of the needle except our acts of love. We should be content and happy if we have food and clothing. We'd also obviously add shelter and a few other things. But we've got to avoid that graspiness. He says, those who want to be rich are falling into temptation and into a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires, which will plunge them to ruin and destruction. And then here it comes. The root of all evil, he says, is the love of money. Notice, not money. Money can be used as a great good. It's a talent placed in our hands. But the love of money is the root of all evil. When we just want to have it and what it can obtain, we become inquisitive. We become not content with what God has given us, but we begin to believe those advertisements that we're only going to be happy unless we buy what that Madison Avenue advertising firm is selling. We need to grasp this, especially in our culture, which is so acquisitive. Everything in our culture is based on this. Most important election issue coming on up. It's not, for example, if somebody will just be trigger happy with nuclear weapons to destroy the world. Not whether somebody cares about promoting the family or promoting human life. By far the biggest issue is the economy, and it's not like it's unimportant, because the economy is so crucially important for the conditions for the common good. But the real questions are, how are we doing economically? In education today, so many, from kindergarten all the way up to graduate school, if you were to say, I'm going to go study a major that you can't cash in on, that doesn't immediately lead to a high-paying job, a lot of people think that you're wasting your time. It's not like the education of your mind or your heart is important at all. Can you get a job with that, and can you make a bunch of cash? I could focus on so many other things, even institutionally in the church, where oftentimes we're far more worried about financial reports than whether we're making people rich in what matters to God. The love of money is the root of all evil. It's that acquisitiveness, that seeking to obtain rather than to give as lavishly as Christ himself gave. He who calls us to be poor in spirit shows us the example, because he sought to become rich in the kingdom. He sought to have us acquire that only true and lasting wealth. Today is the 9th anniversary of the death of a man who grasped this message and lived it and helped so many others. I've had the privilege in my life to meet some who have already been beatified. I met Blessed Mother Teresa. I met Blessed John Paul II many times. I had an incredibly holy spiritual director who I'm convinced is a great saint in heaven, though he's not very well known on earth, though he has worked various miracles, matchmaking miracles for me, since he died in 1997. But this future saint, I believe, with whom I had the chance to become the greatest friend, is Cardinal François Xavier Wynne-Vintoin, who died 9 years ago today. His cause for canonization was introduced in 2007. On September 16th. He was imprisoned for 13 years in Vietnam by the communists, 9 years in solitary confinement. I've mentioned him to you before, how in his despair there in the cell, he started using scraps of newspapers to write spiritual aphorisms that would be copied by a young boy named Quang, taking it to his parents in a book, eventually published to sustain the Vietnamese people under that oppression. Talked before about how he used to celebrate Mass with a few drops of wine, it's stomach medicine that his family would send him, with a couple crumbs on his hand, celebrating Mass by heart, that Mass on the altar of the cosmos in total pitch black darkness and solitary confinement. Spoken about his pectoral cross, how he had hewn it out of some wood that was smuggled, and he used to keep that cross in a bar of soap so that the communists wouldn't be able to find it, but that he himself would be able to unite himself onto that cross. So many other things. Pope Benedict wrote about him in his second encyclical. He's one of the greatest witnesses of hope in the history of the church, who taught us how to pray, never to despair, even in the midst of a human hell. What I'd like to talk about today is about his detachment and his attachment. He himself, both by personality as well as then by circumstance, when you're 9 years in solitary confinement, you can't become acquisitive. He became so much dependent on the Lord, which is the point of being poor in spirit. He made 10 rules for his life that he always tried to live by. I'd love to pass on that spiritual treasure to you. First of his 10 rules, his 10 commandments, should almost say, that he had made his own. I will live the present moment to the fullest. The present moment right now is an incredible gift by God, in which we can communicate with the Lord, who is our good shepherd. With him we have it all. That's what it means to live that present moment to the fullness, to live it with God. Second of his 10 rules or commandments, I will discern between God and God's works. It's a huge difference. Many of us come to pray because prayer makes us feel good, not because we're seeking to make God feel good. This discernment between God himself, who needs to be our treasure, and then all of God's works and fruits and everything else like that. God needs to be supreme. When he was there in jail for that long, he was able to be detached from everything else so that he could attach himself directly to God. I will hold firmly to one secret. What do you think that secret will be? He said, prayer. It's the secret of his life, what kept him going, because he knew God hadn't abandoned him there, that the Lord was with him. But at the same time, it was something that he would keep secret. There were certain things that the Lord would whisper to him which were not to be shared by others. Things perhaps others wouldn't be able to understand. The pearls that the Lord would give that he says shouldn't just be thrown before swine so that they'd be trampled. That was the secret of his life. Fourth, I will see in the Holy Eucharist my only power. That when he was totally weakened by all external circumstances, he realized that the Lord, who he would be able to celebrate on the altar of his hand and then receive inside by licking the crumbs and the precious blood, that was what made him truly strong. Fifth, I would have only one wisdom. What do you think that wisdom would be? It's that the science of the cross, real knowledge of the cross, which St. Paul says is the power and the wisdom of God, the power of his love, the wisdom that comes from love. Sixth, I will remain faithful to my mission in the church and for the church as a witness to Jesus Christ. That the greatest aspiration of his life was to be faithful. A faithful witness to God and to the church, which is his bride, that he founded. Would that that be our aspiration as well. Not that we would have a very long obituary. Not that our names will be etched for centuries after we're gone. But their name will be written in the book of life as someone who has been faithful. Seventh, I will seek the peace that the world can't give. He was there in a communist country, in a situation of war. There were many who were just seeking tranquility between the North and the South in Vietnam, or between the communists and the capitalists in the world. He was seeking a much deeper and more long-lasting peace, the peace that comes only through peace with God. Would that we seek that same peace for which the confessional is so important. Eighth, I will carry out a revolution. What's that revolution going to be? By renewal in the Holy Spirit. That the greatest revolutionaries, as Pope Benedict said in Cologne in 2005, are the saints. The saints are the ones who turn the world upside down. And this is the type of renewal that the Holy Spirit wishes to do in each of us if we just live by his holy inspirations. Ninth, I will speak one language and wear one uniform. And that'll be charity. That the love of God will be the language that he speaks, even when he couldn't communicate with his guards. He converted most of his guards just with little acts of love, such that the communists ceased to trade his guards in because they thought he would corrupt all the guards by making them all Christians instead of communists. So they allowed him to maintain those communist guards. In lots of acts of charity and in forgiveness, he spoke that universal language that Christ himself speaks when he says, "This is my body given for you." Finally, he said, "I will have one very special love." This was the one he conceded himself, the one way he would cheat on his vocation. What would be that one special love? He said, the Blessed Virgin Mary. That he would have a special love for her, and that he would be able to get away with it. Why? Because he learned that from Jesus, the eternal high priest, who likewise had a very special love for that lady. Today, as we come forward, call to ask what our real value system is, what we desire above every other thing, what we're hungering for, what we're grasping for. We can ask, is it for the things of this world, for money and what money can buy, for the things that will eventually just pass away? Or are we grasping for God, grasping for prayer, grasping for the saints, grasping to fulfill our vocation, grasping for the peace that the world can't give or take away, grasping for the Holy Spirit, grasping in love to embrace others. May Cardinal Vantoine pray for us to help us follow these 10 rules so that we, God willing, may be able to follow him to Christ, our treasure, our life, our resurrections, eternal right side, where that heavenly treasure will be ours.